I'm Lodging Editor Kate Humes. Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. For this episode, I talk with Deepak Ohri, the CEO of Bangkok-based Abua Hotels and Resorts, and Rick Nguyen, president of Michigan-based AHC Hospitality, to talk about how location has affected the way that they experience the pandemic.
I want to start with how has the pandemic affected your company's hotels, and what is affecting you the most? Deepak, why don't you start?
Okay, so pandemic actually across the world has affected almost every vertical of the tourism business, not only the hospitality business and not only the hotels. But some countries it has affected quite a lot when it comes to hotel business, and that would be Thailand. Because many countries which do not depend on domestic business, and Thailand certainly do not depend on domestic business, when the airports are closed, that is where you don't see tourists, that is where you don't see the revenue coming out of the dollars coming out of these tourists who used to frequent the country. The GDP gets affected, that is a direct hit. The indirect hit would be that if this continues for a longer period of time, many of the hotel businesses or the restaurant businesses will start shutting down. Right now, Thailand is lucky. We don't see any big names that are closing their shop. But what we see is a trend that we saw in New York. And if New York is falling or if US is falling, I think this whole thing would have a ripple effect. And it will be very soon that we will be seeing this happening in the other parts of the world. So this is how it has affected our hotels geographically in Bangkok. Now we have properties in India. India, as we know, the cases are far much more than Thailand, because Thailand never had a local infection for the last 90 days. But India, lately the cases have been almost touching 100,000 a day. But India has opened up. What we see is a huge pent-up demand of domestic business in India. Our hotels have started doing the break-even in India, which is a very good sign. And New Zealand is still on a, I would say, they're still observing a lot of caution and precautions. Now, what is impacting us the most? I think I've explained that. It is impacting us things in three things. First thing is, we do not see the customers coming in. Second, we see a huge amount of unemployment coming in. Third, we see when these hotels or the floors are closed, the cost to reopen these floors would be far much more than running these floors on a regular basis. So these are impacting vis-a-vis the hotels. The other impact that is coming from the customer side is a lack of clarity all over the world. No one knows what is happening. So it is everything is hearsay because we are still discovering what actually COVID is, because sometimes we hear different things from different parts of the world. So the more than COVID, what has hurt the most is the customer perception. The fear has set into the customer's mind. And that is the biggest fear we people in hospitality have, because we can deal with everything that I have just spoken, but that fear in customer mind is the prime most thing that we should tackle it now than later.
Rick, what are you seeing? Are there similarities? Are things very different at your hotels? How has the pandemic been affecting you?
I think it's all of those things are similar here in the U.S. For us, the biggest impact right now is probably the lack of travel and the lack of meetings and conventions. So we have about 1,500 hotel rooms in downtown Grand Rapids or connected to the convention center. So we rely heavily on meetings and conventions, which are virtually not existing currently. So I think the hotels here are very dependent on people traveling, as most people know, business travel is non-existent as well. So while people, there are individuals willing to, I think, get away for the weekend, and we are seeing some increase in weekend business from the leisure travel, but midweek is extremely low because, you know, number one, businesses are not allowing their people to travel. Many people are working from home, and nobody can, no associations or conferences are willing to meet at this time. And I think part of it is the fear, but part of it's the states and the governors not allowing for meetings to convene. Our governor just recently relaxed the restrictions, and, you know, up to 20%. So if a room holds 1,000 people, now we could hold 200. So while that's not going to, you know, it's not going to take us out of the out of the bad situation that we're in, but, you know, at least it's a sign, and could be at least a little bit of help. But honestly, we need conventions, and we need the convention centers. We also have an arena downtown. A lot of business came from concerts and filling the arena and overnight rooms from that. That, of course, is dark at the current time. So I think all of those things are very similar to the U.S. And I think, you know, at some point, my opinion, we still need to open things up and allow people the choice to meet or to enjoy a hotel or a restaurant or whatever, and take precautions that, you know, that are going to help us protect each other. But we can't stay closed forever.
And Rick, I want to go a little deeper into something you touched on earlier in your answer about local ordinances and how those are affecting the way you do business. So how are you adapting, considering you have hotels in multiple locations and different locations could have different rules? How do you make sure you're following all those rules?
Well, yeah, we have to stay in tune too. We have two hotels in Florida. The rest of them are in Michigan. You know, we just have to stay in tune with what those state governments are dictating. The local, as far as the local here, the city and county governments have been very cooperative. We just recently opened what we call social zones, which allow people to, for the summer, while the weather was good, is, you know, get a drink from one restaurant and walk around downtown or with that drink, so that more of a European type atmosphere. So that has helped the restaurants downtown, but as far as hotels, you know, we're still struggling with getting people to meet and to stay.
Deepak, how about you? Are there, you mentioned you have hotels in several different countries. So how do you keep track of what's allowed and what's not, depending on the local ordinances, or is it not as strict?
I think we have local leadership at each property, and they keep in touch with the government. Like in India, every state also has a different ordinances, though it is one country. So the local leadership deals with that, and we ensure that we follow the protocol. And at some places, like we even exceed those things and put added precautions. But I'm going to give a different twist here. For us, the safety is not an issue, because I believe every hospitality business all over the world is using the top-notch safety protocols. The issue that we are facing is that different cities, different countries have different quarantine rules. And when every place has a different quarantine rules, it affects the travel directly. because you may travel within a state, like in Thailand, we don't have any local infection, so we can move freely. But then we cannot allow, the airports are closed, we cannot allow the international tourists to come in. So we have just started, taken a baby step, and we have just started the special tourist visa, which will start from 26th October, where people will come in. So I think maybe I'll use this forum to address to everyone who's listening that we should work with our respective governments and try to create one rule for the whole world so that there is a huge amount of clarity and the travel will begin soon. Because like we are in ASEAN, Singapore has 3-day quarantine, Thailand has 14-day quarantine, other countries have 7 days quarantine. So even if somebody wants to come in, then it becomes very difficult because the time one has to be in quarantine is very, very different. The issue is from the origin country. When people travel, they have a very different rules than to people when they enter the country where the destination, they will have a different rule. Within the country, they have to travel in the cities, will have a different rule. So I'm not able to understand that why we have not one rule, so that there is a consistency, and when the travel opens, people can travel.
That's a wonderful thing, but we don't have the same rules in each state. So to get all the countries to agree might be, you know, it sounds like it might be difficult. I do agree that, I mean, for the public should be aware that the hotels have never been, we've always had clean hotels, but they've never been cleaner than they are today. The steps that we are all going through is, you know, above and beyond what we ever, you know, contemplating having to do to really disinfect a room and keep things you know, really clean. So people should feel safe that when they go into a hotel room, you know, there is a lot of disinfectant and cleaning that goes on to prepare that room.
That kind of leads into my next question, which is how are you balancing the short-term solutions that you've had to come up with to manage the pandemic with the possibility of permanent change to the hotel industry? Because you're like just the cleaning alone, the cleaning has stepped up to such a good degree. Do you see that sticking around for the long term? Is that going to reset guests' expectations? Rick, why don't you start and then we'll ask to Pat.
Well, certainly in the longer short term period, I think we will keep the disinfecting and keep all those operations in place to make people feel safe. I think, you know, I do think that given time and given you know, when we solve the virus, that people's memories will fade, and you know, people get more comfortable. As we were before, I do think that, you know, as humans, that we tend to forget, or you know, our memories, we want to think of the future and not the past, I guess. And so I think in the longer term, I feel like we'll get back. I really feel optimistic that we'll just get back to the way we were. But I do think some of these, whether it's, you know, having sanitizers available around the hotel, that may last for a very long time, just to give people some comfort, you know, as they're traveling and as they're going in and out of meetings, et cetera. But I do think we have a vaccine and this COVID is solved, I do think we will get back to a more normal state of mind. For all of us.
First of all, I agree with Rick, what he has mentioned, but I want to take this question in a very different dimension, and I'm looking at a different spectrum when I'm going to answer. The permanent change to the hospitality industry would be the culture the hospitality industry has developed past so many years. And why I'm saying that, with so many people whose jobs have been affected, you see your peers have lost their jobs. You see some great restaurants, hotels in different parts of the world that is closed. It may look like a small thing right now, but tourism has always been sold on an emotional level. Tourism always, in any country, any city, has a foundation of a city's culture. It is embedded in the city culture. It becomes a part of the life of that city. And any closures or anything that is happening with all these short-term solutions is going to leave some mark for years to come. Yes, the business will come back, but the cost of business coming back would be far much more huge than we are expecting. And again, I'm going to repeat what I just said before, is that that fear in a customer mind, or people's mind, because every person is a customer, is something, if we do not act now, is going to stay forever, and it will make things difficult. It may add to the permanent change to the whole industry, and that would be sad. And that should be something we should be working on it right now.
I think, you know, at least for us domestically, I mean, I look back to 9/11, which, you know, which instilled some great fear in people generally for flying or for traveling. And but given a relatively short period of time, the public came back and in droves, and the airlines were having record passengers. So I also think of the Great Recession, which a lot of people lost their jobs in that 08, 09, 10 period of time. And again, we came back even stronger as a tourism industry. So this is why I believe, and hopefully I'm not overly optimistic, but I believe that once this virus fades, that we will see the public and all of us get back to where we want to travel, to where we want to get together. I mean, just if you take your small circle of friends or large circle of friends, everybody is dying to get, now that's a bad expression, but everybody is really wanting to get back together in person. And, you know, the Zoom calls and all of the internet, you know, that's available is just not the same. So I really think that people are just chomping at the bit to want to get back in person, to meet, or to, you know, to have weddings again, to, you know, to be able to just enjoy each other's company.
So I have one last question for each of you. I really want to highlight how the different perspectives, what different perspectives you have coming from where you're coming from. So Deepak, what could a U.S. hotelier learn from Thai hoteliers' approach to the pandemic?
This is the toughest question you have asked. The reason being, we have learned quite a lot because of this pandemic. So we need to unlearn, and I think what we need to start doing is we need to share. I think because the reason I'm saying is, the Thai hoteliers, when pre-COVID days, most of the guests were coming from US, Europe, Germany, and so I don't think so there's too much of learning to do. The only learning is, I could say that in Japan, people are using ikigai, art of staying happy. Thai people are generally culturally very happy, and they are taking it in their spirit. Though there have been a lot of financial losses, but they're taking it in their spirit. And saying that, I'm not saying the Americans or the US hoteliers are not doing it. They both are doing it. So I think a sharing of information will become an important part. I like what Rick said about 9/11, but post 9/11, what happened among the intelligence community is that they all became, though different parts of the world, they all became one, and the sharing of knowledge became a very important thing. And we all, as a hotelier, how we share after this the knowledge and things that are happening will only bring awareness and will make the people more comfortable to travel.
And Rick, what about you? What do you think international hoteliers might be able to learn from how the U.S. has approached, or the U.S. hotel industry, let's not say the U.S. in general, how the U.S. hotel industry has approached the pandemic?
Well, I have to agree. I think we can learn from each other. I think as an industry, we're not all that different, whether you're a hotel in Thailand or a hotel in Grand Rapids, Michigan, or a hotel, in the Caribbean. I think we really do share a common goal and a common set of principles or culture, in a sense, that we're here to really have people enjoy their life, and we're here to serve people. So I think, you know, that we share ultimately in common. And I think how exactly we do things from a procedure standpoint, we could definitely share and learn from each other. But I think we do a lot of that now, or certainly pre-COVID, and I'm sure that'll continue as we move forward.
Well, guys, thank you so much for making time today. This has been great. And thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you, Kate. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you want more content like this, please subscribe to our channel. Or you can listen to Lodging on Demand as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.